Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Rife with double-digit inflation, civil strife, and signs of imminent economic collapse everywhere, Venezuela has seen the future, and it's in cryptocurrency. Now, they just have to convince elements of their own citizenry, as well as the rest of the world. Earlier this month, President Nicolas Maduro said the government plans to float nearly $6 billion in a new unit called Petros, a cryptocurrency that would leverage its vast oil reserves as money. Is the idea, as I understand it, is that one Petro will be worth one barrel of Venezuelan oil.
Okay.
That's the supposed plan. Just last week, the South American nation sent a high-level delegation to Qatar in order to court investment. Yet the plan has encountered immediate resistance, not the least of which comes from Venezuela's opposition-run parliament, which nearly 2 weeks ago declared the cryptocurrency illegal, and the U.S. Treasury Department. Last week, a Treasury spokesbureaucrat told Reuters that Petros could violate sanctions and help prop up the embattled Maduro government.
Wow.
If they actually successfully release this thing, and of course, you know, we're talking about the government here. Government tends to be very poor at everything that it does, and the Venezuelan government is particularly bad. I am skeptical as to whether or not this thing's ever going to ever, you know, come out. But if it does, certainly the Treasury Department is correct in that if you buy a Petro, you are supporting the Venezuelan government.
Mm-hmm.
The last time this happened was in 2013, and Ted Cruz held up filibustered some spending bill trying to get Obamacare yanked out of it by the roots, and it didn't go well for the Republicans because Obama engaged in a lot of what you call shutdown theater. Y'all, I was listening to Daryl and you talk on Friday evening show about the road cones in front of monuments that didn't have any personnel needed. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that, blocking sidewalks. Well, there was I was listening to NRA News by Cam Edwards. I can get it, 1 hour roundup back then on Sportsman's Channel. And Cam Edwards was talking about there's a jogging path that runs along the Potomac River. And it's theoretically, it's kind of a municipal National Park Service joint control thing. Somebody from the National Park Service was ordered to go out there and yank the handles off of the drinking water fountain. So if you were jogging and you couldn't get a big gulping drink of government because they yanked the handles off.
If they're hawking organic banana-based cryptocurrencies at the North American Cryptocurrency Conference. Like,
is that what they did?
Yeah, there's a huge sign in the vending area that's like, buy banana coin.
That's not a joke?
No, it's not a joke. Buy a banana coin, where the price and value of your coin is connected directly to the price of a pound of organic bananas.
Ridiculous. Why you would want to have anything associated with something that can spoil, I don't understand, but...
The value of the currency is supposed to be tied to the value of a pound of organic bananas.
Gotcha. So you don't get to actually collect a pound of bananas.
Probably not. No.
I see.
Tethered. They're banana tethers. It's the same as being a dollar. It's worth about the same as, actually probably worth less than a dollar tether or a Venezuelan oil coin.
Petro.
Yeah, a Petro coin.
It may not be obvious to you yet, but solar energy is free and it's safe, and you don't have to store the waste for 24,000 years up in Hanford, Washington. So,
what about the batteries? Those batteries burn up, and they are pretty expensive to dispose of. I mean, they're dangerous. They're particularly dangerous to the environment. So, I mean, how is that any better than if you take a bunch of batteries and go bury them up on that hill, or you take a bunch of nuclear waste and bury it up on that hill? You're still destroying the ecosystem for generations to come.
Well, it's presuming you don't seal them properly.
Where they bury it in Hanford, Washington, is they bury it in tanks along the Columbia River, and these tanks frequently leak. In fact, more radiation has leaked from Hanford than leaked from Fukushima.
That sounds really scary. You know, if somebody is polluting, then they should have to pay consequences for polluting people's lives and polluting their property. But that really has nothing to do with what I asked you, which was, where does the money come from? You're talking about how much per kilowatt hour is being paid out. You're touting this as some sort of solution, and I'd like to know where the money comes from.
The money comes from the energy of the sun.
I want to talk about a recent 2010 Atlantic City High School graduate. We won't look into their scores and stuff, because so few graduate, so many don't go to colleges, but you can always learn a trade like this guy did. He went into the military, and but he joined not our military, he joined ISIS, and I guess he learned the trade of being a butcher, because he captured enemy soldiers of ISIS, he cut their heads off.
Oh, no. Is this like breaking news? Is this happening, you know, is this recent in New Jersey or what?
Well, it was a few days ago. It was breaking news. He lived in Margate, two towns towards Delaware from Atlantic City. His mom said on one news site that he attended a local mosque. I don't know where he learned this trade, or I think he's an Akru baby. But why does he hate us? Why is he? He wants lone wolves to kill people here in the USA.
Now, what? Now, has this person actually made statements publicly about hating you?
Well, not me personally, but they have videos of him saying this stuff. They have videos of him cutting people's heads off over
there. My goodness. What you have, at least in the Muslim community now, is you have an entire generation that has grown up in a post 9/11 world where they've been told since the day that they could understand words that this is not their country, and even though they were born here, they don't belong here. They should go the hell back where they came from. Go home, you raghead. Go home, you sand this. Go home, you camel, you know. And then they literally, people have no problem saying this stuff to 6 and 7 year old children. The only reason you know they've never said it to mine is I'm sitting in this chair right now with you instead of in a prison cell, because I wouldn't put up with that. But Muslims that aren't from here, immigrants, they literally just cower to it, call the rights group and everything. You know, like, they won't react to it. They won't do anything to defend themselves other than run home and call CARE, and CARE says, well, write us a check so that we can go on TV and talk about how we did stuff, when 9 times out of 10, we didn't do anything. We just talked about it on TV and took credit for it.
Just because the German government says, you know, sends a telegram saying, hey, you guys ought to join us and fight the United States, doesn't mean they actually agreed to do it, right?
No, I guess not. Plus, you know, it wasn't a surprise anymore, even if they wanted to.
Right.
I mean, I can see why they were. They lost that territory.
Great Britain also had the same plans. There was pre-World War I, there's actually a really cool documentary about it on the BBC. It's called America's Secret Invasion of Britain.
Huh.
And basically it details this entire invasion plan that the United States government had put together for invading Great Britain right before World War I. And it was because they had intercepted a telegram that was sent to the Mexican government, encouraging the Mexican government to help them invade the United States.
So Britain wanted to invade the U.S.
as well. Yes. So Germany and Britain both. And what he's talking about is also historically correct. Germany also sent the same kind of telegram, trying to convince Mexico to join them in an effort to invade the U.S. because everybody wanted to invade the U.S. and take over all of our resources. And then World War I came, and, you know, no more of that.
Jamil?
Yeah, but, the second history lesson, and forgive me if I heard this on Free Talk Live, I don't think I did, but in regards to immigration laws, first immigration laws, apparently, from what I heard, was the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882, I believe.
Yes.
And, of course, Chinese were just despised, so they wanted to not come in. And then after that, of course, it ramped up only in the 1920s with all the immigration. They were heavily restricted because all the Italians and everything.
Look at the EPA and all the polluting that they've been responsible for. How about the U.S. military and all the pollution that they're responsible for?
Are you acknowledging that the EPA has been sabotaged?
I don't know about that. I just know they're government, so they suck at everything that they do. So when you put a government agency in charge of protecting something.
Do you understand how the EPA has been sapped by bigger and bigger and bigger concentrations of pollution? In other words, if you have one big sticky mess on this part of town and then another sticky mess on the other side of town, and slowly but surely it's creeping into the water source and they're mixing underground into the water table. Now, how do you get both sides to clean it up?
That's well, let's see. I'm looking at the 2018.
Big Money says that they have to make money poisoning, and there's no money to be made in cleaning it up.
The EPA is big money, too, David.
For real.
What will happen is the EPA will come down hard on the one toxic site, and then they will pretend that the other toxic site doesn't exist because they hate one group and like the other group.
I'm looking
at they got buddies.
Politics.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the year 2018 budget, the one that everybody's freaking out. Like, oh, my God, Trump's going to cut everything and we're all going to be like mutants. It's $5.566 billion.
That Mexican, Britain, U.S., Mexican, German, Nazi thing you're talking about, I believe that the what happened is that the Brits were tapping American telegraph stuff, and they the Brits were doing the tapping, and they received the message that the German telegraphed to the Mexicans that to try to set that backstab up, and the Mexicans didn't want to go along with it, but the Brits had a dilemma because they didn't want us to know that they were intercepting messages and decoding stuff, and I'm sure I'm getting something wrong in there, but that's part of that what happened there.
All right.
And I had the state police here to begin an investigation into the lawyer I know about stealing money from the taxpayers, but I wanted to hold off on that because there's something more timely. You were talking about earlier, tie into what you're talking about, oil and gas. New Mexico's big oil and gas. 1/3 of the state budget comes from oil and gas extraction and such. And our current U.S. Congressman Steve Pierce, who is leaving that position and running for governor in the next election on the Republican side. Before he went into politics, he had made something like $20 million off oil and gas.
We got a guy like that back in Knoxville called Kenny Kelly.
Who'll call out.
Oh, he calls out everybody. And like he's really not well liked.
He's a caller. He's not a host.
No, he's a caller. He's calling, and he like this guy here, you know, and he calls out the politicians. He calls out the hosts. I remember one time. There's like this really touchy feely good kind of like Muslim guy that they have come on the afternoon talk radio show.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow people to call in and ask him questions and that kind of stuff. He's just there to be like the, I'm not a bigot. See, I've got a Muslim friend. And Kenny calls in after they're off and like tells them that he wants to ask this other guest a question, and then they let him on the air. And, like, he just lets them have it. He's like, this guy's the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate. He's been a community leader in this state for 6 years now, and you guys won't even let him on the air to ask questions. I mean, like, he gave them both barrels, and they were just like, didn't know how to react to it. And, like, then that's what he does. He calls daytime shows, nighttime shows. He'll pretend to be other people.
That's great.
Whatever he's got to do to get in, and, like, I mean, he's coming with everything he's got, and he don't mind cussing on the air if he gets a little too excited.
I think part of the story with Venezuela and crypto is they are an energy, their country is built on the energy industry and oil, and they subsidize their citizens' energy use relatively heavily, and that has caused crypto to be popular in Venezuela, cryptographic or Bitcoin mining and so forth.
That's true.
The biggest, maybe the only cost for mining a crypto is the energy it costs you. And if those people are getting...
There's the equipment cost, but yes, the ongoing is certainly the energy.
Right. And if their energy is being subsidized, I've read on some of the crypto forums that Bitcoin Cash, for example, is catching on in Venezuela, and it's because of the subsidies that the government provides. So if they see that some kind of nascent threat from cryptocurrencies coming, then they might be trying to forestall it by saying, well, forget about that. Look at what we've got here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We won't arrest you if you're mining this one.
Right.
because they will arrest you if they catch you mining Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash, because basically it's unauthorized use of the government's power.
Yeah.
In that particular case.
Well, that's what you're seeing in a lot of these countries that are dealing with massive poverty or massive unemployment. They have this subsidy on electricity. They're mining. You've got Egyptians mining. Mm-hmm. Ethereum is huge in Egypt. China. Same thing, you know, your choices
are. Well, they
have
to shut down now.
You can, you know, go work in the sweatshop for 12 cents an hour, or you can mine Bitcoin.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
You also have to completely forget what the federal government has done to East Tennesseans already via the TWRA and the TVA. I grew up in the Loudoun, Blount, Campbell, in that severe area. And, you know, I looked at the skeletons of farms that were literally taken at gunpoint from locals so that they could first just decide not to do anything with the land and then go, oh, well, you know what? Let's turn it into a toxic waste dump. Literally some of the best farmland on the face of the earth. And the federal government's idea was we're going to steal it. And then when we can't figure out what to do with it, we're just going to pour toxic waste from Y-12 and, you know, the Oak Ridge National Laboratories there. And then somebody said, well, wait, no, hold on. Let's flood it and build another dam. Literally 700 yards from the Loudoun Dam, and then we'll sell all that land that we bought for $33 an acre or less.
Is that cheap?
And for Tennessee farmland,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll sell it to developers, and they'll sell it for $250,000 for half of an acre, and we'll all get stinking rich. So, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I've seen what the federal government does with the land that they take from Tennesseans. My family is from Cades Cove. We were among those people that the federal government under Teddy Roosevelt literally came in and threw people off of their farms to create Cades Cove.
I just want to call in about one of these phony baloney things where the government tries to, barricade everybody out of, you know, so-called public facilities in order to, you know, to force you to put pressure on Congress to restore funding. We have a local, I'm down here on the border in Nogales, Arizona. The nearest big city is Tucson, Arizona. There's a recreation area called Sabino Canyon. And of course, Tucson is a desert, and this is the only place where you can go walk along a stream where there's actual water. So everybody in Tucson goes there on the weekends. This place has now been barricaded and shut down by the USDA, and I don't think anybody was even aware that the federal government had anything to do with the facility. But there's a big parking lot where everybody parks to go into the facility. Mm-hmm. USDA has put four-wheel drive pickup trucks across the entrance, blocked it off, and they have forest rangers with guns standing there keeping people from parking in the facility.
Now, hold on, just to clarify, David, is this happening just this weekend due to the supposed government shutdown, or has this been going on before that?
No, it's okay. For this, and they've even put up a sign. They've put up a sign that said, we are going to keep this recreation area shut down until Congress restores funding. They've actually taped up a sign that says that. Now, what people are doing is ignoring it. They're parking on the county road where there's a bunch of no parking signs from the county, just a normal no parking area.
Well, they call Ripple a cryptocurrency.
Who calls it that, though? I mean,
lots of people that you and I know.
It's a coin. It's a digital currency.
It's listed on your favorite website, coinmarketcap.com.
Yeah, that's true.
Fed.gov.coin.
That's true.
I don't know what parameters they have for that. They've also got Tether on there.
Yeah. And so this Petro, which doesn't exist yet, is, you know, supposedly coming, and I hope that nobody buys it. I hope that people will stay away from this, because you're ultimately going to just enrich the government of Venezuela with your real cryptocurrency. Because if they put this up on an exchange And then you're trading Bitcoin or Ethereum or something like that for this.
Well, as long as you're trading U.S. dollar tethers for it, it's just fake money for fake money.
Well, you know, you decide how to handle this, but to me, I would feel like I had blood on my hands if I had any of the these Petros.
Yeah, I could
personally.
If I owned it, it would be for the novelty of it, and then like you would have to. That's what I was saying the other day on my own show. Was like, I'd love to have some for the novelty.
Yeah,
but like you would have to.
That blood don't come
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides the fact that you're going to be enriching one of the world's worst and oppressive governments if you buy the Petro, there's also the fact that even if you do buy it, it may fall to zero just simply because of, you know, mismanagement and it being a government currency. Although that said, if they do actually come out with the Petro, if it does actually, you know, come to fruition, then I think that would actually make the Venezuelan government like the first government with its own kind of crypto digital currency. Like
I'm not aware of any other.
Yeah, neither am I.
So I mean, if they can actually do it, it will be, to some extent, kind of impressive if it actually works, which, again, it's the government, so I wouldn't get my hopes up for that. Analysts, according to CNBC, have echoed these assessments, saying that Petro isn't a cryptocurrency that would be accepted by most, if not any, external entities. Raul Gallegos, the associate director at international consultancy Control Risks, said, quote, "It is unlikely that this made-up currency will be accepted by any company or bank in lieu of cash." Now, of course, I think that's an interesting thing to say, given that the Bolivar is also a made-up currency, just like all government monies all around the world are made-up currencies. So, I mean, on the scale of currencies, calling this one a made-up currency really doesn't set it apart from all of the rest of the world's made-up currencies, but those have been around for a while, so people don't think of them in the same way. The current exchange rate, according to DollarToday.com, this is something we've been following here on this program since back when it was like 10,000 or 4,000 or something like that per Bolivar per U.S. dollar. I'm trying to remember what the first amount was that we talked about a couple years ago when we first started following this pretty closely, but it's now over 200,000, 211,337 Bolivar per U.S. dollar, and like a month ago, it was at 100,000. So, I mean, the inflation rate is so intense. It's so heavy over there. I mean, you literally have to recalculate prices every single day over there. If you're still one of the few people who actually remains in business, and your business hasn't been shut down by government takeover or random mobs of marauders coming in and just stealing all your stuff.
Injecting fiat capital into an economy can give the appearance of creating actual capital the same way that pouring water into milk can create the appearance of more milk.
Yeah, it's you can watch from the outside, and you know, if you're there, then man, it's cannot be any fun to be in Venezuela these days. So a little bit more here from the first story that we were sharing from CNBC about the Petro and sort of the situation that it's coming into there, where there are severe shortages of food, medicine, and consumer goods, which has led to examples of Venezuelans scavenging trash for food, some dying of hunger, and a great many dying from basic ailments and treatable diseases. Russia, which has propped up the Maduro government with assistance, quote, will likely continue to offer a financial lifeline in exchange for sweetheart deals in the oil sector that allows them to expand their footprint in Venezuela's key oil ventures. However, the financial outlook for Venezuela will continue to be dire, and the regime will likely be forced to declare a default on its debt eventually. And they've already been defaulting on their debt payments. We read stories about that within the last year here on Free Talk Live. And, you know, again, if you're one of the organizations or governments of the world holding debt, you know, if you're one of their creditors, you're probably not feeling particularly charitable about giving them another loan at this point, given that, you know, you're not going to take their Bolivar as debt payment because that's just insane. You would only want to take something like a euro or a dollar or, you know, cryptocurrency, something that's going to hold its value a little bit longer than the Bolivar. And of course, the Venezuelan government doesn't have enough dollars to pay its debts. So they are defaulting. And the question is, how many times can they default before, you know, it leads to complete political and financial chaos and ruin?
Because a suit costs $700, it seems like they're not looking into the detail of what makes an item have a certain value. In other words, it's like, sorry, I was a little bit taken aback because I'm trying to get this this technical stuff put in. Point is that I'm trying to make is that I think that's the – I mean, I've listened to a lot of socialist ideals before, and no matter how appealing they might be upon first hearing, the thing that always catches my – that always makes – you know, gives me alarm bells is that it's never looked at with a fine enough, I guess, resolution is what you could call it, like a philosophical resolution. It's, you know, kind of like I am totally rambling right now.
Well, notes help. Just a quick caller tip. If you make a few notes before you call in, that does help help you keep on track. I mean, this is something that I've encountered on a number of occasions. But it sounded to me like you were criticizing the socialist who was upset at Bernie Sanders. I guess he wasn't upset, right? Wasn't he making an excuse for Bernie Sanders, like saying, well, you know, he's Bernie, so therefore he should be able to buy a suit?
Right, but the actual arguments itself about, you know, the quality of the suit isn't being taken into play, what costs, you know, the cost of it to make. So you end up getting, I mean, everyone would be wearing exactly the same type of suit.
One shop owner had his, a bodega that he'd opened up just a few months prior, raided by a hungry mob on January 9th. They took 30 minutes and just cleaned out the whole place. He says it makes you want to cry. I think we're headed for chaos. Some of the recent headlines from Venezuela read like notes from the apocalypse. In the city of Maracay, just west of Caracas, thieves broke into a veterinary school, stole two pregnant thoroughbred horses, then slaughtered them for meat. A recent video from the western state of Merida shows a group of people cornering a cow before stoning it to death. As bystanders yell, "The people are hungry." There have been previous incidents of looting, but analysts fear that the current wave could linger amid the Venezuela economic freefall. President Nicolas Maduro, of course, blames the country's woes on an economic war against his government by right-wingers and foreign interests like the United States government and the guy who runs DollarToday.com. They've actually accused him of being the reason for inflation. The guy who is based in Hoover, Alabama, who runs a website that reports the black market numbers, the prices of the U.S. dollar in Bolivar, the real price of what you can get for a U.S. dollar on the streets. The government has actually accused that man of being the reason for the inflation because he's reporting. Yeah, that happened. Because he's reporting the numbers, they're saying that's what's causing the hyperinflation. Although his bodega is located just down the street from a National Guard post, Anatel, the owner, said his pleas for help were ignored. He scoffed at officers' claims that they lacked enough troops to protect businesses. He said, quote, "Wherever there are anti-government protests, they have more than enough tear gas, tanks, and troops to put them down. But for us business people, there is no security."
The one thing that could save Venezuela is setting the people free and giving them the power to save themselves. And that's the one thing that Maduro cannot do and will not do. So instead, they take the money that should be going to the people and they hire people to run the Ministry of Urban Farming.
That's right.
To tell people who would be only too happy to raise rabbits to eat if the government would stop taking everything from them, to tell them that they should do that.
Right. Where are you going to get the rabbit from? You going to go catch one? Because you can't afford to buy one. So how do you start to breed rabbits if you can't even afford to, you know, rub two pennies together at that point? Now, as the shop owner here is pointing out, there's plenty of troops to put down the revolution, but there's no troops to help him out when an angry mob comes and robs his shop, picks it completely clean. He says there's no security.
Will, do they drink cheer wine in East Tennessee?
Oh, yes, they do. It's a local thing in East Tennessee. I think it's from Chattanooga or something like that.
I don't think
No, that's RC that's from Chattanooga.
I think Cheerwine is from South Carolina.
Okay.
Because they have it, because I grew up with it in Asheville. But
that's a soda pop, right?
Yeah.
It's a cherry soda pop.
It's the nectar of the gods is kind of how I feel about
Manufactured it. Manufactured by the Carolina Beverage Corporation.
Yep. You and me need to get them as a sponsor somehow.
Ooh. Salisbury, North Carolina. We're on the air in Salisbury.
It's the best product. It's the best you've ever had. I gave Tom Wood some.
Better than Moxie?
By. Oh,
yes. Better than Moxie.
Yes, it's better than Moxie. Unless, I mean, Moxie is divisive. It's that
yeah,
whole,
people hate or love Moxie.
That
right?
whole anise black licorice divide. But Moxie is root beer, basically.
Can you say anise on the air? On the radio?
Anise? Yeah.
Joking.
Good Moxie one. Is gross.
Well, I mean, Moxie, correct me if I'm wrong, Moxie is simply root beer.
No,
it's different.
No, it's different.
Slightly different.
It's like RC Cola. If RC Cola put too much of that part of RC Cola, that makes it have a funny wang.
I don't know. I couldn't identify the RC wang.
So there you go. Cheer wine. So was there more than, or are you just asking about
RC
Cheer
Cola
wine?
I was just asking about that. I'm a big fan of Cheer wine, yep. and I got Will here.
Can you get it up here?
You can get it.
Yes,
you can get it over the internet.
No, you can get it here.
You cannot.
It's top shelf over at. It's either Price Choppers or Hannaford's.
They've You're got the biggest liar I've the, ever
four,
seen.
Four pack bottles, glass bottles. I'm telling you.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.